Evening everyone. Hello Yanni, dankie Yanni dat jy vir my hallo gesê het. Hey guys, hello. Hello. For those of you who don't know, my name is Emil. I've got a beautiful wife. She's not here tonight. She's with our beautiful baby girl, Margot. That is she's challenging us at the moment, but we've got faith. I joked with Steve while we were in front, they were pondering, what does the Lord want to do? And I told him, no, it's fun if I don't preach. I mean, because who better to counsel us than the Lord? Who better to build us up than the Lord? Who better to hear from? Because I only see in part, I know in part, but He knows fully. And yeah, I'm excited for tonight. So I want to be faithful what the Lord has put on my heart. But before we start, let's pray together. Yeah, Father, we just want to thank You that You've built us up already tonight. You've already put so many things in our heart tonight, Lord. And I pray that those things will grow in our hearts. Lord, I pray that whatever You want to say tonight, let it be said. Whatever You want us to hear tonight, let it be heard, Lord. And I pray that Your kingdom will come in our hearts tonight and that Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So for those of you who are taking notes, the title of what I'm going to share tonight is God is asking us a question. Have I not called you? Have I not called you? So if you are part of the family of God, if you are saved, then I've got good news for you. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, Michael. Eh? How cool is that? God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He has called you. If you're not part of the family of God yet, I've also got good news for you. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And you will find this purpose when you decide to follow Jesus. But sometimes in our walk with God, we need reminding. Like tonight, we need reminding, like Lisa Marie sang. We need reminding of God's mercies that are new every morning. We need reminding of His goodness, His love, His kindness, and what His plans and purposes are for us as a church, but also individually. So just by a raise of hands, I just want to see who here has ever received a prophetic word or a scripture or a dream or something that the Lord showed you something of what He wants to do in and through your life. Just by a raise of hands. Okay. A lot of us. Okay. Just by a raise of hands again, who kind of feels like that thing that the Lord has showed you, the plan and the purpose, is it's kind of on the ice. It feels like, I don't know if it's happening. It kind of feels like it's on the shelf. Yeah, so I love it that in Josh Jen, many of our leaders have said this before. We do not follow prophecy. We follow God and we fall into prophecy. As we follow God, as we love Him, as we obey Him, as we walk with Him, every step we walk with Him, more and more we walk in the plan and the purpose He has for our lives. And then as we look over our shoulder, we look and we see, wow, how great is our God. Look what He has done. Look at that prophecy that has been fulfilled. So we do not seek God's hand. We seek His face. But if God said it, it will be. It will happen. Maybe not as we think it might happen, but it will happen. So tonight, I want to encourage each one of us and remind us that our God is great. Our God is great. His word is true and He is faithful. Amen? Amen? So, if you have your Bible, can you open up your Bibles at Joshua 1, verse 9? But before we go to Joshua 1, verse 9, Vondre, thank you, Vondre. It's like a funnig day, eh? I just want to give two things for context before we read Joshua 1, verse 9. So, the first thing for context is that Israel received promises from God. And we're going to read these promises. Just two of the promises that I want to highlight. So it is, the first one is in Genesis 22, Vandre, if you can put that one up. This is God speaking to Israel, and He's saying this to them. I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven, as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. The next one, Vandre, Genesis 17. God speaking again, he says, "And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." So I will be your God. So God promises Israel the promised land, and God also promises that through the nation of Israel, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And he was pointing to Jesus that was to come, and that did come. And all the nations has been blessed by him already, and is going to be blessed even more. And I've been blessed through him because he saved my soul. And then the second part of context I want to give here is that we're going to read about Joshua 1 verse 9. So in Joshua 1 verse 9, Israel is on the edge of the promised land, this promise that they received. But this is not the first time that they are on the edge of the promised land looking at it. This is the second time. So what happened in the first one is, so God saved Israel out of the land of Egypt. They were slaves. He took by many miracles. I mean, great miracles. Through Moses, he showed many miracles. The 10 plagues. If you've been to Sunday school, you'll know about it. The 10 plagues. And then he took them through the Red Sea. And then many miracles happened. And they came to the edge of the promised land. And God said to them, "This is the promised land that I promised you. Go and take the promised land. Go into the nation. Go and take it. I promise you, I will be with you." So what Israel decides to do is, they go to Moses and they say, "Let's send in spies. Let's go check out this land that God is promising us." So they send in 12 spies, and the 12 spies go in and they go check out the land, and then they come back. And all of the 12 spies with one accord says, "This place is amazing." I mean, they've got amazing fruit. They've got milk and honey. They've got paddleball there at the point. They've got like a golf with Jan David. I mean, this is amazing. But then 10 out of the 12 spies were like, "Yo, guys, it is amazing. But we are like grasshoppers compared to those people. They are giants. They're going to squash us. We're not going to make it." And from yay, amen, paddleball, they went to, no, I don't think we can do this. And they actually, their response was basically, "Woe to us. God brought us out of slavery. He saved us out of slavery only to bring us to this point to let us die." That was their response. And God got so angry that he actually wanted to wipe them out just there. And then Moses went and he prayed for Israel and he said, "Lord, please relent, please relent." And the Lord relented and the Lord said, "Okay, so the consequence of your actions is for 40 years, you are going to remain in this wilderness. And every person over the age of 20 will not enter the promised land except for Joshua and Caleb." That's rough, eh? And what I've learned out of that is, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, you will never walk in the purpose and the plan he has for you. If you hear his voice and you don't do it, you won't walk in the promise. But anyways, so the Lord sent them in the wilderness and he took care of them in the wilderness, and now they're at the same point again. They walked around the mountain and they're back to the same place. Same test. And the Lord comes to them and he says this, Joshua 1 verse 9. It's a lot of context, eh? But it's very important. Let's read it together. So God says this to Joshua, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." I want to remind us again that Joshua was with Moses. He saw all the miracles. He saw all the crazy stuff that happened. And the Lord could have said anything to them. The Lord could have said, "You know, remember last time? It was 40 years. If you don't listen to me now, I'm going to double it up to 80 years. But he didn't say that. He didn't say that. The Lord said to them, he knows our hearts. He knows our hearts. He knows we are weak. I am weak. He knows that I need reminding of who he is and what he's going to do. So the Lord actually says three things that I want to look at, what he says in Joshua 1 verse 9. Firstly, he tells us what we should do, what we shouldn't do, and he gives us a reason why. But firstly, I want to look at what God says we shouldn't do. So the first thing that God says that Israel shouldn't do is don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't look at your circumstances. Don't look at where you are now. Don't look at what you're seeing around you. God is greater than your circumstances. God is greater than the marriage trouble that you have now. God is greater than your finances at the moment. God is greater than if you feel like everything is falling apart, He's greater. Don't be afraid. The second thing He says to Israel what not to do is don't be dismayed. So another word for dismayed is don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Because just like Israel, we easily become discouraged. Easy, very easy. When the promises take too long. When God said, I will use you for the nations, to prophesy over the nations, and it never happens. Will you get discouraged? When it takes 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? Don't look at your circumstances. Don't when things are not working out as we thought it might work out. Don't get discouraged. Because when we get discouraged, we start to doubt. We start to doubt God. We start to doubt His word. Did God really say? Did God really say He's with me in my marriage? Did God really say He's going to help me with my finances? Did God really say He will never leave me nor forsake me? So don't be discouraged. And then God says what we should do, what they should do. Be strong and be courageous. So it's not, in other words, it's when you see your circumstance, when everything is falling apart, stand firm. We heard tonight, stand firm. Be strong, be courageous. But it's not just the being strong and courageous. It's actually the place of, I've got zeal. I'm full of faith. Like Michael's pluckies, he's got faith, he's walking on faith tonight. I'm full of faith. But why am I full of faith? He gives us the reason why we shouldn't be afraid, why we shouldn't be discouraged, why we should be strong, full of faith, full of zeal. He gives us the reason and He says, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That is the reason why Israel can have faith. And this sounds very familiar to me. In Matthew 28 verse 19, Jesus, our God, echoes this and He says, go into all the nations and disciple them. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And behold, I will be with you to the ends of the earth. So God is saying to Israel, have faith. Have faith. You've seen what I've done. You've seen how I took you out of slavery. You've seen how I took you out of Egypt. You saw all the miracles. You've seen my character. You've seen what happens when you listen to me. You've seen what happens when you don't listen to me. You've seen when you went into the wilderness, how I took care of you. How for 40 years I provided for you in the wilderness. I gave you manna daily. I gave you meat from the birds. I gave you water out of a rock. Your sandals on your feet never broke. I took care of you like a baby. Now, based on that you've seen, have faith. Based on that, the evidence of who I am and what I can do, have faith. Based on what God has done in your life, what He's done yesterday, what He's done today, have faith. That is what God is saying tonight, is have faith. Have faith. Now, the question we might ask is, so, now, how does this apply to us today as a church? You know, Joshua not being afraid and Israel going into the promised land. We are Joshua generation. There's a reason. Just like Joshua, just like Abraham, just like Israel, received promises from God. If you are in Christ Jesus, God has gave you promises because you belong to Him. And I just want to read a few scriptures of what God says about His beloved people. I'm just going to read a few scriptures to us. Psalm 139. This is David writing this. He says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day has passed. Every breath that you are going to breathe, every thought that you're going to think, every moment of your life is written in God's book. He knew you before time. He knows you through and through. He knows everything that He wants to achieve through you. Natian, elke oomblik, the Lord knows you. He knows you through and through. My prayer tonight is that you will know Him as you are fully known. And that you will know what He's called you to. That you will know, if you're sitting here tonight, doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, God has a purpose and plan for your life. Because He knows you. He's written everything down in His book. Next scripture is Ephesians 2. It says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." The next scripture, Andrei. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. And then the last one there, Philippians 1 verse 6. And Paul's writing this and he says, "And I am sure of this, that He who began the good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." So tonight I want to say to you, if you are in Christ Jesus, He will never leave you nor forsake you. The good work that He started in you, He will complete it. And all God is asking us is, remain in me. If you remain in me, I will remain in you, and you will bear much fruit. If you remain in me, love me. Obey me. John 14 says, if you love me, obey my commandments. Don't think about my commandments. Obey my commandments. I know what is better for you. Just walk every day, step by step. Listen to my voice. I've got a plan for you. I want to use you. There's more for you. Just remain close to me. Good to return to your notes. Now, is it easy to always be full of faith? Guys, is it easy to always be full of faith? No. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. That's why we need moments like we had tonight, where God comes and encourages us, because God knows our frame. He knows us through and through. He knows we need encouragement. He knows we need reminding. Every day I need reminding. But you need to spend time with Him. You need to get in the secret place. You need to hear what He says about you. I'm just feeling, what's your name? Zander. Die Here sê, ek het 'n plan. Ek wil jou gebruik. Dis wat die Here sê vanaand. Ek wil vir jou gebruik. Ek het 'n plan en 'n doel met jou lewe. Al dink jy nie nou so nie. Ek gaan jou gebruik. That's what the Lord is saying tonight. Guys, it isn't easy to step out in faith. It isn't easy. Thank goodness I had almost 2 weeks to prepare this preach. Thank goodness. Because normally, God, I don't know what happened tonight. It must be a miracle. Ek bewe as ek voor enig iets voor iemand moet sê of doen. Even met Dion, maar Dion is een beetje anders. Ja, hij is fris, nie, grap. Anyway, dus Dion, ons moet op een pick op jou. Maar jy sê dat jy is a legend. Dat is maar al, hoekom ons. Nou verloor ek my punt. Yes, hoekom het ek nou van die punt afgegaan? Back to my notes. It's not easy. It's not easy to step out in faith. But knowing that God wants you to do it, helps you to do it. What I want to encourage you tonight, in the light of who our God is, what He has done for us on the cross, by dying for our sins, giving us eternal hope, eternal purpose, and eternal life, based on Him and only Him, The one who is faithful to keep his promises. The one who is faithful to help us walk this road with him to the day we will meet him in the sky. Based on him, I want to encourage you. And based on him who has you in the palm of his hands, I want to encourage you tonight. Have faith. Have faith. Hold on to him. Obey his voice and you will be amazed of what he can do in and through you. Don't fear. Have faith. Maybe we can just close our eyes there. Yeah, Lord, we just wanna bring our hearts before you. Lord, and you know us. You know our hearts. You know our thoughts. Lord, I pray that you will come and touch every heart right now. Every area that we need you right now. I pray that you will come touch us right now. Lord, because we desperately need you. We desperately need you. And Lord, we are excited for what you want to do in and through us. We want to grab a hold of that. We are full of joy. We want to rejoice in you because you are awesome, Lord. And you saved us and you have got wonderful plans for us, Lord. We want to take a hold of that which you have taken a hold of us for, Lord. Maybe you're here tonight. You don't know that God loves you. You don't know that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Tonight I want to tell you that there is hope. There is hope. His name is Jesus. Romans 3 verse 23 says, "For we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And Romans 6 verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is salvation through Jesus Christ and eternal life through Jesus Christ." So there's not one of us sitting here tonight that has not sinned, that has not done something wrong, that is not wronged against God. And the penalty of this is death, eternal death and separation from God. But God sent his only Son into this world to save us. He paid the wages of sin in full. In full, so that you and I can have eternal life, eternal hope, eternal purpose. And in Romans 10 verse 9, the Bible says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved."